But, I mean, it's been quite some time since you've played in Britain, and to some extent quite some time since you've been in the charts. I mean, it's a year ago, I think, was the last time we heard from you.
Yeah, I haven't been around for a long time. I haven't made a record for about a year. I haven't toured, actually, since 1980. I did a Wembley thing in 81, but it was just three nights in all the same building, so you can't really call it a tour.
Glad to be back?
Yeah, really. It's very much not trying to get back into the simple things again, you know, to remember what it's all about.
Now, you made a great statement about your departure from the music business and your efforts to really move completely away from being a pop star into the world of aviation a couple of years ago, and decided to take yourself off on a round-the-world flight. Was that successful, and were you glad to leave the music business at that time?
Well, the first thing is that I never wanted to leave the music business. All I said was, I'm stopping touring. I wanted it had become very much a job where you turn out songs like a production line, and I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for us to do it, not the bands to do it, because you don't write your best songs in that situation. It's not good for the fans, because they're getting a bad deal out of it, because you're giving them duff songs because you have to. There's lots of reasons, you know. I didn't want to tour anymore. I didn't enjoy it.
What about the flying?
Well, the flying was what I turned to get away from it. You know, I'd got back in the position of going home and writing songs when I wanted to, about what I wanted to write them about. I no longer had to keep writing number ones, because I'd had that bit where you go down and you find your own level. I'd done that. And then, so I got into aeroplanes. Well, I'd always been into aeroplanes, but I mean, I actually started doing it properly. Got the license and did the various trips. Did the flight around the world. Eventually made it after a bit of travel.
Yes, we heard in the press about your various attempts and some near misses en route, but you made it from point A to point B, as it were.
Yeah, what you read in the press, I wouldn't really take too much notice of, to be honest. According to, I think it's the Sun now, I've had 7 crashes. The truth of the matter is I've had 1 on where I was actually a passenger in the plane. Now, that should, you know, put that straight for a start, because I'm getting very tired of that. It's getting very annoying, you know.
On the subject of the press, it's a good time perhaps to ask this question. The press and the music media, more specifically, haven't been that kind to you in the past. Does it bother you?
Kind, I mean, disgusting. Yeah, it got in my nerves. I can't quite figure out how I can write so many songs which are so popular in the general public, and yet no one in the music press appears to like it. And it's obviously more than that. It's obviously I'm not hip to like, rather than they genuinely don't. And when you sort of realise that it's that, it becomes a little bit pointless and you lose interest in what they're saying, to be honest.
But what about their accusations? I mean, they've said at times that you lack any real idea of music, that there's no variation in your songs, that you're an egotist, your image is all hype. A lot of accusations and a lot of criticisms about you. Not very kind criticisms either.
Well, I think what the press lost sight of is that this business is called show business. We get up on a stage, we dress up and we show off. That's why it's called show business. We entertain people. I personally think that people that get up onto a stage and sing about how terrible everything is and how they relate to what's going on are talking out their arsehole, basically, because they don't know. They're sitting in millionaire luxury homes. Like most of us have got a lot of money. That's you know, sorry for having a lot of money, but that's the way it is. We've got it. And I like it personally. I like having money, you know. So we can't really justifiably sing about their problems, because we don't any longer really know what it's like. And I think the best thing that we can possibly do, and the most rewarding thing that we can do, is to just help people to forget for a couple of hours. Now they give a fiver for a ticket or whatever, and they forget all their troubles for a couple of hours, and they get away from it, and they relax a bit, and they forget. And that's the best thing we can do. Don't ram it down their throats how bad their lives are, because they already know how bad their lives are. They don't need us to tell them.
Your desire to enjoy money has extended itself to Los Angeles, where you took up residency for a while, I guess because of the old tax man and all the money that you would have had to pay to the Exchequer if you'd remained in Britain.
It wasn't that I didn't want to pay it, it's just that after the Around the World trip, I didn't have it. Because that cost me, I didn't get sponsorship for that, so I had to pay for it myself. And I'd lost already £400,000 on the touring, the Wembley and the tours before that, because I used to do such large shows. And I always kept the ticket prices down, because I didn't think it was fair to make the fans pay for my big show, even though they was getting it. I never quite saw it that way. And so I kept the ticket prices down and supplemented it myself. So I lost a fortune. And then did the round the world trip, lost another fortune. I come back from that, and a tax man said, "You owe me so much," and I just didn't have it. I literally didn't have the money. I still don't. I hope he don't come back. And so I had to do a runner, you know. So I shot off to Los Angeles and didn't stay in a big flash place. I just had this little apartment.
Well, while you were there, you didn't just sit on your laurels. You actually did some touring and in some ways tried to crack that side of the music market, didn't you?
I'd already cracked America with Cars. And then because I'd stopped, it all slid. I wasn't really trying to crack America with that tour, because you need to be over there a lot longer. You know, it was just a very brief 19-gig thing, which isn't anywhere near enough to break America. All I really wanted to do was to see whether I wanted to do it again. And I thought, well, if I can do this, you know, clubbing in a foreign country where I'm not particularly famous, then England should be sort of much nicer. And that's really why I'm looking forward to it now, because I actually enjoyed that, and that's the first tour I'd ever enjoyed.
Perhaps also a little, the American music-buying public were more sympathetic to what you were doing last year and perhaps in the near future too, because of the changes in music, particularly with the British music invasion, with groups like Duran Duran, who you, to some extent, opened the gates for, because you began that whole tradition of the new wave of music in the late 70s.
Yeah, we were the first British band to have what they called a new wave hit, which was Cars. And then they got to number three, I think. And it picked up from then on.
So you'll be getting a better reaction, obviously, because of the snowball effect. I mean, groups like Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran, Dire Straits, all those groups have become a new invasion, if you like, of music, haven't they?
Yeah, at the moment in America, it's great for British bands. It's going great guns, really. Can't really take the credit for it. I just was lucky enough to be the first. To have a hit there. Same with really Over Here. I was the first of the electronic bands to have a hit here, and to make that popular. But it wasn't. I didn't make it popular. I was just a person which had the first one. I wasn't even doing it first, you know. That's the other thing about the press. When I say I've got an ego, I really don't see myself as important as they seem to think I do. I don't think any musicians are important.
Well, back home now with the new album Warriors and a single that's climbing up the charts very nicely for you. How do you feel about the new album? It's different, in my opinion. It's a funkier album, less of the synthesizer, less techno music, but perhaps funkier and jazzier in its themes.
Yeah, certainly jazzier. I started to do the funk thing with the last album, so that was already underway. This time I just took it a lot further and whacked the old jazz element into it, which is nice. Yeah, actually, a lot of people have said that this one sounds different, which is the first time I've ever said that. So that's quite encouraging.
What about the theme behind Warriors? Is there a theme? I know that you've created a new image for yourself in this very macho leather look that you have.
There's no particular storyline. It's not a theme album at all, really. Most of the songs are really about what it's been like for me for the last year and a half, 2 years. Once your initial climb to fame bubble bursts and you begin to slip back and find where you're actually going to end up in the business, because obviously you get massive to start with and then you settle down. It happens to everybody. You then start fighting to stay there, and that's when the real work starts. And that's when you find out who's with you and who isn't, you know.
Well, some of the folks that are with you are your old band. Cedric Sharpley's there. I think Russell is there, your guitarist. There's a few faces from the original band that were originally called Tubeway Army, and then you simply became the Gary Numan band.
Well, what happened was I'd wrote Our Friends Electric on the old Tubeway Army stuff. My uncle was in the band, and he left, and to me then that was the end of it, you know, once he'd gone. So I went off on my own, got the new band together to start doing the Pleasure Principle album and Cars. And then Our Friends Electric suddenly became successful, which was one of the old songs that we had like done and forgotten about, and suddenly took off. And so I didn't think anything of it, so I had this new band, and we jumped on telly and did the business. And so I thought, oh Christ, because they're then going on as Tubeway Army, you see. Which it wasn't at all, because that had long gone. It was me, my uncle, and Paul Gardner was Tubeway Army. And I think the confusion started from there, really. Because they never was Tubeway Army. They was always my band, and they went on to become Dramatis in their own right, which they still are. Now, though they work with me independently, they are still, you know, their own band in their own right.
Will they be helping you out on the tour, playing with you at the concerts, or have you employed a completely new band for that upcoming tour?
No, I've got Russell Bell, Cedric Sharpley and Chris Payne, the Dramatis chaps. They're doing a tour with me. And John Webber's my brother, he's playing on it as well. And Joe Hubbard is doing the bass, who used to be with Morrissey Mullen, which is really where the jazz influence has been coming from.
Now you mentioned Morrissey, you got Dick Morrissey on the album, I believe. He's playing some pieces on it for you.
Yeah, he's great. Bit clever man, that.
And it's nice that you've started to make that transition, that you're actually using acoustic instruments now instead of remaining totally with synthesizers. I think there's always been a criticism, rightly or wrongly, about your music, that it was far too predictable because of synthesized drums and keyboard instruments.
Yeah, now to me, I think the opposite. To me, a band that goes out there with guitar, bass and a drummer is the most predictable thing in the world. A synthesizer is totally unpredictable because it can do so many things that a guitar can't. Now, having said that, which I think shuts that criticism up once and for all, hopefully, having said that, I think there are bands which do are totally electronic, and some of it's good, but it does tend to get a little bit one track. But I never did that. I always try to add synthesizers so the instruments are already there. I didn't want to replace guitars, I wanted to add them to guitars. And now I'm just adding more and more instruments all the time. We saxophone, God knows what's on it, you know, loads and loads of things. And a synthesizer is just a part of it. It's not the main thing, but it's not the least thing. It's just something that's there, you know.
A short while ago, when we talked about your financial success, you said that you'd poured a lot of money into your concert tours rather than making the fans pay for it. You'd invested a lot of your own personal cash in the tours and the stage shows. Something that you've been renowned for is the amazing light shows, the visual effects, etc. What have you got planned for this upcoming Warriors tour? Is it going to be another one?
Yeah, it's huge. It really is. It's not quite as big as Wembley because obviously that was a one-off thing, but as far as a touring show is concerned, this is the biggest I've ever done.
Describe it a little bit, if you can, without giving away any secrets.
Yeah, it's 40 feet. It's a set, like a scene of buildings. It's about 40 feet wide, 25 to 30 feet high, depending on the building we're going into. It's variable. A split-level stage, so chaps are up in the air again, the same as I used to do before. And this time, instead of being buildings of lights, it's actually buildings with brickwork and windows and that kind of thing. So it actually looks like a film set, which is what I really wanted, to make it like a film in real life, or almost in real life, how you want to see it, really. And that's what we're trying to do. So it actually looks like a film set, and we act out all the songs within that set, you know, full of effects, as lights coming in and out all over the place. And the things, I can talk to some of them, I can talk to the lights and make them go where I want them to go, and they move and scatter around and do these things.
So it's going to take a lot of rehearsing and practicing to get the set right. It's something that you're working on at the moment, is it?
Yeah, I've been on it for nearly 2 months now. Mm. Yeah, that's just rehearsing, let alone the designing was about 6 months before that. Mm. So it's been a long project, yeah.
So 1983 sees you back into the business again, into live performing and also recording again. You're glad to be back, I know. Are you looking forward to continuing now, or will it just be for a short time and then breaking off into another project?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm quite into what I'm doing now. I feel very much at home with being a rock star or whatever, whereas I felt very much like a fish out of water before, and I was struggling very hard to learn what you have to do to be one. You know, if somebody talks to you and he's very rude, are you supposed to shut up and put up with it because of who you are, or can you be normal and just punch him or whatever you want to do, you know, have a go back at him? And it's taken me a long time to figure out how you are supposed to be, and it all ends up to being you are how you want to be, and it took me a long time to realise that, you know. So I feel very much at home now doing what I'm doing, because I can be me, and I don't have to be a Newman when I'm out, and a Webb when I'm at home, or a pop star when I'm out, and normal when I'm at home. I don't have to be that, because I am a pop star when I'm at home, because that is what I am, you know, like it or not, and I'm used to that now.
What about being a pop star in the future, though? It's something that is all right if you're in vogue, but if you're not popular and your albums and singles don't sell and your tours aren't being received well, then it doesn't matter what you think you are. If the public aren't out there to support you, you've got that problem. So how do you see the future for Gary Newman, the pop star?
Well, at the moment, it's doing all right. But you're quite right, yeah, you are a pop star if people buy your records. And it's also taken me a little while to realise that as well. and the fact that I come back here after being away for a year And there's like something like 1,000 people met me at the airport. And I really began to realise then exactly how much I owe them. And that's a great change of heart for me, actually. And I do realise now, and I'm very appreciative of it. Which is another one of the reasons why I'm doing the big shows and losing money again. Just try and say thank you, you know, because I appreciate it very much.